Hi, this is Margot Sandersen from Het Ziederhuis in Utrecht, the Netherlands, and you are listening to the Cider Chat.
Episode 10. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. This is Rhea Wincoller, your Cider MC. And we have a bushel of Apple info in this week's podcast. So welcome to the show. And whether you are driving along on your holiday travels or sitting in your chair with your feet back, kicked up with a cup of cider, or busily working around or wherever you are, I really appreciate you listening. Our chat this week is with cider import Margot Sandersen from Het Ciderhuis, and there'll be more info on that chat in a bit. And there was big news that I want to get to this past week that we all hope will continue to propel cider making forward in the U.S. Yep, the Cider Act was passed and signed on December 18th, 2015. Now, the full name is Cider Investment and Development Through Excise Tax Reduction. I'm going to say that a second time. Cider Investment and Development Through Excise Tax Reduction, which eloquently turns out to be the acronym CIDR. And it was introduced by two representatives. First one is Earl Blumenauer. He is a Democrat from the 3rd Congressional District in the great state of Oregon. And Chris Collins, he's a Republican from New York State's 27th Congressional District. And then there is a senator, because you need representatives and senators on board. And that is Democratic Senator Charles Schumer of New York. And he sponsored the CIDR Act 2 in the Senate, which goes to show you, that CIDR unites both major parties in the U.S. Woo, woo. And that's kind of big news, because we all know that a good chat is time well spent. I mean, there is a reason why this country, I believe, was really born and bred on cider. I hope you agree too. And let me just kind of go over the CIDR Act in a little nutshell to kind of contain it. And I'm sure we'll be getting to it in subsequent episodes. Do know that this is a tax legislation thing, and that business-minded people, you know, they work together to work towards helping reduce the tax burden. Prior to this act, cider that was carbonated by the cider maker, or naturally as in bottle condition, it could be taxed at the champagne rate, which was $3.30 or $3.40 a gallon if the carbonation level was too high. I mean, wow, imagine being a small batch cider maker, or even a large batch cider maker, any cider maker, and finding that the most delicious cider that you've ever made is now going to be so expensive that only us nerd cider drinkers will buy it. I mean, that hits people in the pockets. And of course, you could go back to the episode with Nick Gunn and Dave White, who were speaking about that. Nick Gunn, and particularly from Wandering Angus and Anthem Cider. They did get hit by that tax, and man, I know it was hard for them. The other piece of this act is that it now includes pears in the definition of hard cider. I'm not so sure what the pears think about that. I think that apple trees and pear trees could give a hoot about our human taxation. We know that pears is called Perry, but you know, that's just the way the laws of the land go. And sometimes you got to like make it so that the powers that be are all happy. And then cider makers and all of us folks can just keep on going on. The other piece is that now cider has boosted its alcohol by volume. That's short for, or ABV for short, to surpass 7%. It now has a range of at least 1% to 8.5%. And let's just hope that the big chemical companies don't get involved and start making apple tree hybrids on steroids that boost sugar content. I think they probably already have. In all, it's just a huge boom for cider in the U.S. And personally, on that whole carbonation piece, I like both still and sparkling cider. I do know that sometimes sparkling can kind of mask some off flavors. So again, it's going to be up to the cider makers, and it's all quite exciting. The cider makers will run with the act and continue to grow the industry overall, and cider consumers need to let cider makers know what you want. I'm sure that in subsequent weeks and in the new year to come and in years to come, 5 years down the road, we're going to just see a totally different landscape on the market. And I'm really excited for that. So tip of the tree to the U.S. Association of Cider Makers and to Senator Chuck Schumer. You know, I met him once, a little side thing. I met him at a wedding. I'm not going to say more about who, you know, just hanging out with the big wigs. And he's just a really nice guy. I met his dad, and there's a little funny thing on there. His dad and his two uncles, the three brothers, they would do a little bit of a funny photo. I guess they've always done it where they do like, see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil. And really, really cute. So a great family, the Schumers. And I'm sure that Senator Schumer wouldn't mind me sharing that. I hope not. I mean, that's just too cute. It's all about personality, right? And the story behind it. And also, of course, to Oregon Representative Earl Blumenauer. That's a tough last name for me to say. I hope I said that right, Representative Earl. And to Chris Collins from New York. So yay to that. That's all good news. And now I'd like to talk about the Cider Swag Contest. And you can find the official rules at ciderchat.com/Cider Swag Contest. Do you know how to spell swag? S-W-A-G. I just love that word. And, you know, I've been thinking about this and I've just been wondering, like, Ciderville, are you shy? Do you feel like, you know, I'm a little nervous about going on social media. I mean, that happens. It's okay if you feel that way. But I'll tell you from my history as a craft libation writer, what always really surprised me is how I had to kind of hunt down the stories from the libation makers, the craft industry, and that people are shy. It's kind of surprising, but you know, you're artists, right? If you're a cider maker or even a cider enthusiast, we could be shy. We don't want to kind of go out there and reveal ourselves. And specifically, cider makers, this is to you. You got to reveal yourself. If you want to get press, if you want to get folks knowing what you're about, then make your voice count. And this is hard, you know, for artists. And you are an artiste. When you make something as amazing as cider, it can be difficult because all you want to do is focus on your art. Now, my art is the art of just writing and podcasting and speaking to Ciderville. At least I like to think that is. And I hope that you agree. And a great way to support Ciderville and this podcast, and mind you, this podcast only has 10 episodes. I have a lot of amazing episodes coming up. There's going to be one with Castle Hill Cidery in Virginia. We're going to talk to folks down in Virginia, which is a happening area. And we'll also be talking about mobile juicing, kind of like mobile canning. And that's with Ryle. That's going to be an amazing show. I have a ton of folks lined up. I'm going to be chatting coming up with John Bunker from Fedco. He is from Maine and really an amazing orchardist. And dang, that guy's just like, he's like a national treasure. Just tons of stuff. But I need your support. And of course, I'd love some monetary support. There is a donate button that would help. But the real simple one, the easiest way is to get involved in the Cider Swag Contest. And it is simple. All I'm asking is that you take a minute. If you like this show, and I'm really hoping that you do, if I got you this far, I'm not irritating the hell out of you, that you go to iTunes, I don't care, wherever you are in the world, and post a review and 5-star rating. I know that folks are downloading. I mean, we're getting amazing download results for this podcast. So Siderville, you are listening. But you know, you got to get over that shyness. It's okay. Let it be known. Share it. The reason why Cider Gat is popular as it is because it is a drink that is shared and enjoyed by many. We don't just sit in our little hovel just drinking alone, although maybe sometimes I do. But, you know, primarily, nothing better than grabbing a glass and joining the chat. You just leave a review and rating, and you could tweet that to me, email that to me. You can take a screenshot of the review and rating, email that to me, tweet it, put it on Facebook, share it, let me know, and I'll be picking the 5 top reviews and ratings. And we got some great gifts that our friends from Angry Orchard, which is based in New York, in Walden, New York, they were so kind to donate some cider swag with, of course, is the Angry Orchard logo. And who doesn't want to try some of their orchard glasses? They're super cool. I mean, if you're a cider nerd, get on board. This is not something that you have to pay for. It's just free just by putting in a review and rating. And I know there's been some chit-chatting out in the world in Ciderville about, would you drink out of this glass? And, you know, do you think it's worth it? Hell yeah, it's worth it. It's a cool stinking glass. I mean, they put a lot of work behind it, and you can't say anything about a glass until you try it. And certainly it is a conversational piece. It's just really a cool looking glass, whether you like it or not. I mean, I like it. I have one, and it's actually grown on me quite a bit. So you could see a photo of that on our website at ciderchat.com/cider swag contest. Now that will go to the top review and rating. And truthfully, right now, there's only one review and rating on iTunes for Cider Chat. Can you believe it? And still, this little podcast has been hanging out up in the news and noteworthy section for food, surpassing wine and beer. Now, imagine if you put in a review and rating, that actually might put this podcast not just in the food section, but in the top section for iTunes News and Noteworthy. And that's 3 billion listeners. And at some point, if you're a cider maker, I hope to talk to you. And a great way to do that is by supporting this podcast. Well, there's other swag too that you get. You could get an Angry Orchard keychain, which is always really great, and also a paddle. A paddle. You know, my brother, he owned a very large kayak shop called Kayak Connection. It's still there in Santa Cruz Harbor and in Monterey Bay. And their saying was, "You deserve a good paddling." I agree. You do. And you'll get it if you put in a review and rating. So you get an Angry Orchard paddle opener. I mean, this is great. Free stuff. What else? What can I say? So that is my plea to you, Ciderville. Support this little podcast. You could do it. Just go write a couple words. Do your little screen save photo. Not a big deal on your smartphone or your laptop. Tweet, Facebook, send to me. And I will be so happy. You will make me very, very happy. And you'll get yourself entered into this easy, easy peasy contest. Alrighty, thank you in advance. And that is my, you know, stomping and thromping for now. I think now it's time to head to the Netherlands. And I want to give you just a little background on this. This is a little bit shorter chat than normal, but it has some cool history. I do work in the Netherlands. One of the things I do on the side, I'm a international consultant, so I get to travel, and I have a business where I essentially teach crisis intervention skills. And I have a secondary podcast called Leading Chaos Podcasts. And, you know, for any of you who are first responders, EMTs, things like that, that's my specialty also. You know, actually, it goes quite well with writing about libations, because I could walk in any bar in the world and feel quite comfortable. Go figure, right? So I was in the Netherlands doing my work, and I also set up the first ever cider meetup in Amsterdam, and that took place in October. And I was just absolutely delighted, because it's a small group of folks who are really in the cider scene right there, right now. And I was able to speak to a number of folks. And the second, well, let me see, it's the first, second, third episode of Cider Chat is with Wouter, and he's from Cider, so you might want to check that out. That was really cool, and he's down in Rotterdam. But this one is with Margot, and she's based in Utrecht. And if you fly into Amsterdam, and probably a lot of you have, and you kind of go into that, it could seem really so intimidating, but I've been to that airport, Schiphol Airport, so many times. I want to give you a couple tips. If you arrive in Schiphol and you have the time, a great thing to do, what I find, especially if you're flying from the States, is I will land and I'll immediately go to my hotel and just crash for a couple hours. And then I go into the city. Now, right at Schiphol, you are at a main hub where you could pop anywhere in the Netherlands and not necessarily have to go into Amsterdam. But I always do. I always go do a canal ride, get in the zone, go eat some cheese and kind of cruise around, drink some of their amazing coffee. And there's some great locations to get some libations. Now, south of Amsterdam is the city of Utrecht and also Den Haag, or what we might say as The Hague. And there's some cool spots there. Marco's going to be talking about places that you could go and get some cider. And I will have all the references of what she's talking about in the show notes to this episode. So you land at Schiphol, and I like staying, one, there's a Hilton that was really nice, but they've been making that over. And that's just, you know, just put all your luggage, just wheel it right to the Hilton. I think there's a Sheraton too. But I also really like staying at Citizen M, and that's right at Schiphol. You will have to walk out of the airport for like 2 minutes, and it's really easy to get to. I mean, it couldn't be easier. It's a lot less expensive than the other hotels, and they actually sell one of the ciders that are made in the Netherlands right in Citizen M. Citizen M is a really cool hotel, by the way. I mean, it's in a lot of the countries in the U.S., and they were selling beer cider. So I want to just give a shout out to Citizen M. They did a nice job. It's probably one of my main places that I stay next time I'm in going through Amsterdam. I could go on and on about that country. I just love it. You got to ride a bike. You got to drink some cider. I've just seen so many things change in the past, I think, 7 years that I've been, 7 or 8 years that I've been going there. And one is that certainly the craft beer industry has changed dramatically. And by gosh, they are so watching what's going on in the U.S. And just recently, the beer cider that I talked about, Leonard, who owns Beer Cider, he just did a collaboration with a brewery in Harlem. That's a city just to the west of Amsterdam, where it was adding hops into the cider. So, you know, there you go. It's happening. And we know that's happening in the UK too. The reason why I am going with this particular chat with Margot is that she imports UK ciders. And I'm really looking forward to talking to UK cider makers. So if you're listening and you want to be on Cider Chat and have a chat with me and with Ciderville, contact me. Just send an email, Rhea@ciderchat.com, or tweet me at Cider Chat, and we'll hook that up. I am definitely slowly getting built up to handle that. I really prefer to do chats in person. There's, you know, something a little distorted when you're doing it virtually. So I hope to make it to the UK too. So there's lots in the plans for that. And Margot is a UK cider maker, so she's going to be talking about that and a little bit about the Netherlands. This cider meetup took place at a little club called Club de Kiet with Masi. He's an owner of it, a young man that I met, in one of my travels, I think a year ago. Cool little place. It's really a student-run scene, millennial bar, and lots of fun for me. And the coolest thing is that he has a giant, I think it's a Danish hare, a giant black Danish hare that is part of the Club de Kiet. You know, there's Europe is such an amazing place to go to because it has this kind of twist that the U.S. doesn't have. And really, just changes things up. I mean, how many places do you know might have a dog, but a giant hare? I don't think so. And the hare's name is Keet, and that's K-E-E-T. It's a little bit outside of the main scene of Amsterdam, but I like going there and hanging out. And he was kind enough to allow me to use his site as a cider meetup, and I'm hoping we'll be doing that again. So that's enough of the overview. I think it's time to grab a glass and join this chat.
Why don't we begin with your full name and just let the listeners know where you're from and what your work is in the cider trade.
My name is Margo Sandersen. Margo Sandersen. Just keep it Dutch. I own Het Ciderhuis, so that's translated the cider house. And basically what I'm doing is I'm importing real ciders from England and Wales, and that's what I'm doing now. New Zealand ciders are coming.
So hopefully England and
Wales.
And Wales, okay, yeah.
And then New Zealand cider is coming soon. And then after that, hopefully some other.
Great. And where are you based out of?
Utrecht.
Utrecht, and that's really? a little south, about an hour south of Amsterdam, if
it's,
you're going to drive.
It's really the middle of the Netherlands, so it's about 30-40 minutes drive.
Okay.
As in, the Netherlands is not that big.
Right, which is so convenient for some of us.
It is.
And if people were coming through from Amsterdam and landing, that wouldn't be a long drive to get down there. But so you're importing, and then it's going out to local stores?
Yes.
In what region? Yes. In Utrecht?
No, all through the Netherlands.
Okay.
So it's bars, shops, restaurants, those kind of places.
Right.
That's where I'm selling it to. And then beside that, I'm doing festivals as well with the cider.
Okay. So why don't we start with, how did you get involved in cider?
Yeah, nice one. Yeah. Well, I've been living in London for 3 years, and that's how I got in touch with cider. And because I'm not a beer drinker, and sometimes I don't like to sip wine. Sometimes you want to drink, as in drink a glass, not full of alcohol, but just... and that's how I got in touch with cider, and I really liked it. And I was like, this should be something in the Netherlands as well, because I think there's a place for it.
Yeah.
So when I came back to the Netherlands, I was like, yep, definitely need to do something with it.
Yeah. So you started there, you came over here and you started this import and you went directly to the UK. Was that your first cider that you was?
Yeah. I first had a job and then quit my job to do it actually. Okay.
And what are those ciders that you're bringing in from the UK?
I've got a few brands. The ones I started with are Hallett's Quinty Drag. They're both Wells. I've got Centred Orchard, I've got Henny's, and then I've got Tom Oliver, Worley's, thinking now, Ross and Y, Pilton, what am I forgetting? Rest my list.
Great.
I've got quite a few, and sometimes it's changing.
Yeah, sure. And then Wales, and now New Zealand. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know much about New Zealand cider. I mean, how did you find out about it?
Well, the funny thing is, you just met him. Dean is New Zealand, from New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
That's the link.
Yeah.
And as he already mentioned, he's involved in my company.
Yeah.
So at one point, he was really interested in, okay, could we get a New Zealand cider on the menu?
Nice.
So I got Sepha. They sent a few samples over. And I really like what they're doing, so
cool.
That's why it's coming over.
Yeah. Now, in your experience of serving, you do it at festivals. I've seen it on your page, your Facebook page.
Yeah.
And people can like your page.
Yeah.
So, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes, so people can do that. But if they don't do that, you just look up Het Cider House, and that's Het is H-E-T, and then it's cider, and then it's house is H-U-I-S.
Yeah, correct.
All one word, and you'll get directly to your site. When you're outpouring cider to the Dutch, how do you explain cider to people?
Well, That's a good thing. 3 years ago, I had to explain it. Now I don't have to explain it anymore. So there is some change at the moment. And how I started 3 years ago, it was explaining as in, right, it's made as wine, but they're made from apples, but you drink it as beer. Mm. And that's how I explain it, because obviously the English style of drinking is in pints or half pints. So that's in, that was my 1 second pitch, is in this is cider. And then the best thing actually is to let people taste it, because then you really can experience that taste.
Do you do it much like a wine tasting or a beer tasting, for like a lighter cider to a stronger cider, would you say, like a light style, like a dry cider?
Yeah, I start with dry ciders and then go to medium.
Okay.
Slash sweet, not really sweet, but
not too sweet. Yeah. And what are you finding with the preferences? Is it, what are people going for when they are done tasting and they say, I really like that? What are they typically walking out with?
Well, that's a funny thing, because in the Netherlands, because we don't have an experience with it, so they refer to wine, and it's not done in the Netherlands to actually like a sweet wine. Mm. So if I ask the question, would you like a dry or a medium, they always say dry. What they walk away with in the end, in general, you guess,
it's
more a medium.
Wow.
So it's the perception that dry is sort of like more trendy,
it's
more
familiar.
Fashionable.
It's familiar too, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I find quite a bit, is that people go, when they think about cider in the U.S., we see people are, sometimes I just actually give them the sweeter. You know, a beginner, somebody who's very resistant, because they expect that sweet juice, that fresh pressed apple.
Yeah.
They expect what they've been drinking forever. And then slowly the palate develops and becomes a little bit more refined.
And then they tend to go dry.
Yeah.
That's what I find as well.
And then we also, you know, have quite a bit of things that get added into cider in the U.S. A lot of the ciders that you're bringing in, are they
cider?
You know, do they have hops in it? I know they're doing that in the U.K.
Yeah, I think I've got the only one made in England. Tom Oliver makes an absolutely beautiful one with the Cascada hop. And as I told you, I'm not a beer drinker. That one I absolutely love.
Yeah, well,
it's
he's
so
an amazing
good.
Cider maker. So
but it's not really. They make their ciders. They prefer to make their ciders quite pure, which is funny, because if you look at a trend in England, it actually tends to go, like the commercial brands tend to go to flavored ciders, like, you know, your elderflower cider or your strawberry cider.
Right.
But the traditional cider makers, they try to keep it as pure as possible.
So where do you see yourself in the next 5 years in at Cider House?
I think, well, basically, I think I will continue how I'm doing it now. My main goal is to get people in the Netherlands to drink cider. I want it to be on the menu. At the moment, it's really tough, as in, you've got people who love cider, but they walk into a pub and they don't have it. So that's one of the goals I want to achieve. And whether it's my cider or anybody else's cider, that's not the thing. I want people to walk into a place and be able to choose a cider. And that I don't get the question as in, when do you drink it, but that they know when they prefer to drink it. So I think that's where I see myself, that in 5 years' time, this may be a nice one, that in 5 years' time they're explaining to me when you should drink it.
Nice, lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
I think
great.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's good, that's great. Any cider on tap?
Yeah, also.
Yeah.
I've got Central Torchard on tap now, and Henny's, Hallett's and Quinty Drake are coming up this year.
Great. Lovely.
Or next year, sorry. This spring, I should say. Yeah.
And we're having a little cider meetup tonight. So what did you bring to taste?
I brought basically a bottle from a fruit producer, almost a fruit producer, as in I've got Hallett's on me. He's only doing one bottle. Black Dragon from Quinty Drake. I've got the vintage cider from Hennies, which is it's non-sparkling, which is not that popular in the Netherlands.
Which is still cider, and that's not popular.
People in the
Netherlands want a sparkling cider.
They prefer a sparkling cider.
Interesting. Wow.
Which is quite funny because this taste is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
I would almost say it's one of my favorites from his brand. And
yeah.
It's got no bubble.
That's going to change soon. That's going to change really soon.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
So basically from all brands, and I brought one from Ross & Wye on purpose because he tends to, he's really traditional, father-son. It's like using a lot of single varieties, but fermenting till bone dry. It's so dry. So I brought that one as well.
Lovely, lovely.
Yes.
Great. Well, is there anything you'd like listeners who are listening from around the world to know about cider in the Netherlands? And just if they're coming here, because there are a lot of people that come and they have about maybe 48 hours when they land.
Yeah.
If they're lucky. You know, they're just coming straight into Amsterdam and you're a little south there. We know, you and I know that it's an easy trip down to Utrecht from here. It really is.
Yeah.
That the cider hound who's going out there looking for cider.
All I can say is make sure you really go to a place where they sell the proper ciders. Whether that's Utrecht, because we've got loads of places where they sell it, whether it's Den Haag or Rotterdam or Amsterdam, it doesn't matter. Just make sure that you look for the good places.
How about some places in Utrecht?
Utrecht, you've got Café de Zaak.
Café de Zaak.
Yeah, that's in the center.
Okay.
Café de Rat, who also has gorgeous beers, by the way.
Café de...
De Rat.
De Rat.
De Rat.
How would you spell
it's
that?
It's D-E-R-A-T.
Okay, very good.
So basically, it's the rat.
I
like it too.
Yeah.
So that's two places I can recommend.
Perfect.
As in, with a good ciders.
And how about Den Haag or The Hague?
Yeah.
You know any places down
You've
there?
You've got Fittler there, which is Grote Kerk, around that area. The Fittler is F-I-D-D-L-A-R. And you've got Café de Paas.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Got that as well.
That's great. That's great stuff for people just coming by and really needing to know where they could touch base with.
And they can always contact me or any of the cider makers / cider importers. We're always happy to tell them, as in, please go to this place because they do have great stuff.
Great. And they could also follow you on Twitter.
Yes.
So that's probably a great way if they could send a shout out on Twitter. And,
yes, they sure can.
You know, we're in town and...
Yeah.
Where can we find some of this amazing cider that you're talking about?
Yeah.
Miles are watering.
They should taste it.
They should.
That's so good.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to let us know a little bit about what's happening. Yeah. And we'll see you in Ciderville.
Yeah. Thank you.
It was so lovely meeting Margot and discussing cider with her. That meetup, she brought so many ciders, and the poor gal, she was also getting a little bit of a cold too, but she and Dean hung in there and we had a great meetup at Club de Keet, and I brought some cider too from the US. So there was a couple of us there, and I wanted to clarify a couple of things that she said. So there's the different sites in Den Haag and also in Utrecht, those different places that you could get cider at. I will have links in the show notes at ciderchat.com. Just go to episode 10, and that's the Fiddler and Café Paas. Those are both in Den Haag or The Hague, and in Utrecht. Again, that's a city that she is based out of, a really cool arts and music scene that Utrecht is really known to be about. I've been to that city a couple of times, and that's Café de Zaak and Café de Rat, Café of the Rat. So cool stuff from her and a little bit of insight. Then I also mentioned beer cider, and it's not beer and cider. It's the name of it is, it's spelled B-E-E-R Z, and that's pronounced in Dutch as beer. And it's actually from the town of Beer, which is spelled with that Z at the end. And that means the bear. So the label of that cider has a bear holding an apple. It's a really cute, cute label. And I did chat with Leonard, who is the cider maker at Beer Cider. And I'm just kind of having a little difficulty with the audio because there's so much background music. I don't want to mess with copywriting. So I'm trying to figure that piece out. But that was really interesting chatting with him. He didn't make it to the meetup. I did have a little taste of the Beer Cider. And certainly he's a new cidery in many ways. I think he started in 2012 and is slowly coming along. He imports juice from the UK to make his cider because there's so few apples in the Netherlands that people there feel are conducive for making cider. Part of the Benny of being there and chatting with folks is to really encourage them to use the apples that you have. And I think that's true for anyone, anywhere in the world. Don't go by the scripture of that it has to be a quote-unquote cider apple. Every apple will shine its light if you let it. And it's up to the cider maker to make it taste delicious. And Macintosh is a good example of that. That's a classically known eating apple, and yet there's amazing, amazing cider that's made out of that. So I think that there's possibilities. You know, people use crab apples too, and you're not going to get a hell of a lot of juice out of it, but that could be a flavor that you're blending in, and cider making is all about blending. So to the Dutch listeners who are kind of first time coming to Cider Chat, or if you've been a regular listener, I know the Netherlands is an amazing agricultural economy. They certainly know how to grow flowers, and they have a temperate climate that really facilitates that, and certainly a philosophy towards the earth in that way. So I hope that we're going to see some more amazing stuff coming out of the Netherlands in the next 3 years. And also coming up in April is a cider fest. That's going to be, I believe, taking place down in Rotterdam. I'll have more info on that as we go along and give you that as we come into the new year. So a lot of info. It's been a busy week in Ciderville and all good things. I'm going to roll out of here because the holidays are calling me, and I know that I have a little glass of cider that I'm going to be sipping on real soon. I racked over some of my Cider Act cider, and so I stashed a little bit of the extra off to the side after I took it off to the lees, and I'm going to be trying a little mug of that, some really fresh, 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 not yet fully conditioned cider, and toasting you all for happy holidays. This is a Real Wind Caller, signing up for now. Take it slow and enjoy the sunsets. And make sure that you grab a glass and enjoy a good chat during this holiday feasting. I hope to see you soon in Ciderville.